everybody, it's Nick Forster. We have another Teach Me One Thing episode. And this week we get to hang out with my bandmate in Hot Rise and my buddy Brian Sutton. Brian is, of course, a great guitar player. He's won every prize, IBMA Guitar Player of the Year 242 times or whatever. But more than that, he's a really thoughtful musician, really successful studio musician who's played on hundreds of records, and he can think about music from a lot of different perspectives. He's also a really experienced music teacher with lots and lots and lots of students. And more than that, he's just a really good dude. He's a good guy, dad, husband, a stand-up human, and thoughtful in ways that were surprising when we first got to know each other. We spent a lot of time on the road. Brian doesn't like to tour anymore, and I don't think it's my fault. I'm not taking it personally, but I know that after years of touring with me, he's not into it anymore. So we get to hang out with Brian at his home, which is where he likes it. And that's where we all are. So here comes Teach Me One Thing with Brian Sutton. Brian Sutton, good to see you, man.
Hey, Nick Forster, thanks for having me. It's really good to see you today.
It's been a while, and what I know about you is that staying at home with your family is not a terrible thing for you.
Well, from the last time I was in a room with you, probably, I took a lot of last year off as far as touring, from the last few years of Hot Rise in 2015 to now, basically, or to 2019, and kind of took a specific leave of absence from the road. And so This is just kind of an extendo overtime version of that.
Yeah. And you're safe. Your family's healthy. You avoided all the tornadoes and.
Yeah, thankfully. I mean, between the corona and the tornadoes and, whatever else is going to hit Middle Tennessee here in the next bit. I think there was an earthquake in Franklin County last night. So we'll see, you know.
There are other issues in Middle Tennessee, but they're not striking too close to home, and I'm happy about that.
Now, as far as me and mine, and again, I've got work here. I've been doing this teaching out of the basement for 10 years now, and it's rocking, everybody's home. So that's, that sort of the work there is over doubled since the end of March. So I've always got something to do. I have a reason to get up and take a shower and put a shirt on. It's
wow.
Amazing.
Wow, that's more than most of us can say or are doing. I've discovered that there's no need to take a shower in the morning anymore. It's like showers can happen like tomorrow or the next day or 8 o'clock at night or whatever.
The shower's not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. The relationship is solid.
I've been cutting my own hair. It's working out great.
I need to get into that. I've got a little bit of the corona hair happening.
I've also been, I embarked on a new trade, which is adjusting my own glasses over a steaming kettle.
Oh, wow.
Which is something I figured usually you go to the optometrist to have that done, but I figured, no, my glasses are falling off when I lean down. I can fix that.
You can't imagine how old-timey that sounds, too.
Hey, speaking of old-timey, what do you want to teach me today?
One of the things that intrigues me about the music that we play is sort of this blend of tradition and innovation, and how people, we sort of find ourselves in this music, even though we're playing songs that are hundreds of years old. If you get a room full of 50 guitar players playing a fiddle tune, the same song, you're going to hear 50 different versions of that song. And I just think that's so compelling and intriguing about a music that we consider traditional, and this is the way you do it. And I just love those ideas that even within that, we can really sort of push some buttons to not only kind of build our repertoire and build our knowledge of the guitar, but really kind of keep coming back to that as a way to, again, kind of discover more about ourselves, have more fun with it, be able to feel like my goal is to feel like I'm getting sort of deeper and deeper into kind of a true musical voice.
Yeah.
So anyway, what I wanted to teach you is sort of my method of sort of unpacking a lot of that.
Okay.
These are things that you can practice with known melodies. Again, come back to these old songs that you've played for years. And it really starts with improvisation. And it comes down to three ways that I work on improvisation and sort of teach people to try to work on improvisation. So first off, let's pick a tune.
Okay.
Billy in the Low Ground?
Billy in the Low Ground is great, yeah.
So the first method is basically using the chord structure, and you're not really thinking about the melody yet, but you're trying to communicate, you're trying to establish a relationship with you and your guitar playing, just the chords of building a low ground. You know, this in jazz, this is what they call blowing over the changes, right? If you want to try that, you know, like communicate to me without the melody of building the low ground, the chords of building the low ground. So I hear all those chord tones. Right? So you're using mainly kind of a lot of chord specific kind of spots on the guitar. You know, I would challenge you to play more single note kind of lines. Why this is a good challenge, and especially for somebody that's, you know, in self-isolation, is that you're by yourself. You don't have a band around you to kind of fill in a lot of the gaps. And so the more you can kind of, again, commit to maybe like single note. Like, what are the notes that really define a C major, an A minor, an F major, the G, that kind of stuff.
So it's like a it's a deconstruction in a way.
Yeah. And again, for the main purpose of you kind of not doing the same thing all the time that you might do in every
right.
jam that you've played this song your whole life.
Yeah.
This also is a great, just the blowing over the changes thing to kind of experiment with what's available to you, say up here. Or what note, single note, leads to the A minor, or what note leads to the F. You know, just discovering little things like that.
That's cool.
So that's main thing one, you know,
yeah.
blow over the changes.
Yeah.
So the thing two is to let's go back to the melody of building a low ground and using some of the same sort of methodology of maybe even unpacking a little bit on the neck of the guitar, a place where you've never been. Like when I can guarantee if you're going to show me building a low ground, where you're going to start.
Right.
Right. It's going to be here where we always go. So
yeah.
I say, okay, Nick, As a first level variation of this melody, start this melody with your pinky on the fifth fret of the G string.
Yeah, so I'm with my pinky.
Yeah, I put you in a hard spot to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a bad one. I was thinking you were going to say pinky on the sixth string on the ninth fret, you know.
It could be there. Again, as you're practicing this, you're discovering little launch pads for yourself. But again, back to this idea of kind of listening to relationships, like that first thing we're listening to the relationships of the notes you were making as
yeah.
the chords traveled in the song. Now you're listening for the more of a relationship to what we would call sort of the essential melody. We're not looking for licks and phrases and,
right.
and again, the stuff that you might call your bag of tricks or whatever.
Right.
We're looking to discover an odd spot on the fingerboard potentially and how much of what you would consider sort of essential melody are you noticing in that.
That's thing two. What's thing three?
Thing three is where a lot of this comes together in what we call sort of motif practice. This is where I say to you, Nick, let's come up with some little rhythmic nugget, like something like a bump ba da dum bum bum.
Bump ba da bum bum bum.
So what I want to hear is building the low ground. So there's this line of the melody that you were communicating to me, but what we're going to notice is a relationship of that bump ba da dum bum bum while the melody of building the low ground is happening.
I'm sure I didn't do it as you were expecting, but it was good for me.
It's whatever you did, you know, and that's the point, is that you would want it to be different every time. So, like, you started out fairly literally. So if I'm saying, let's notice a little more of a relationship to the melody.
Yeah.
you know, and my, so the game of it is to try to see, like, follow the bouncing ball of the little motif.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
While your awareness and deepening awareness of, again, maybe positions on the fretboard that are, the whole point here is we're continuing to kind of get you out of potential ruts in your improvisation, or just, again, anything that kind of presents itself as like, well, I always do this thing, you know?
Right.
To the point of the motif, it can be anything. It can be kind of a theme. Like if I said single note lines that or a consistent stream of eighth notes. What's cool about stuff like that is I start having these discussions with myself of like, do I hear the melody in there? Do I still feel the groove? Do I love this tune anymore? You know?
Well, what's nice, particularly about this, what you're teaching me now, Brian, is you're basically sort of suggesting in this time of uncertainty where nobody really knows what's going on and everyone's lives have been, our lives have been disrupted.
Sure.
And there's not a lot of solid ground to stand on. You're suggesting take out all the solid ground under everything you think about fiddle tunes and get wobbly with it and see what you discover. Put yourself in uncomfortable, unfamiliar situations, and also let those motifs sort of drive your new thinking.
Yes. I think, you know, if I hope that we all learn from this ways to adapt, ways to prepare, ways to be light on our feet, you know?
Yeah.
And again, I think part of the challenge of, again, to back to the first point, staying within traditional music or a traditional version of your life that has this, you know, agenda, and I get up every day and I do this and then I do this and I do this, just discovering ways to turn that backwards, turn it on itself. You went to A, let's go to B, whatever, you know, it's just consistently finding ways. And again, for that other big point of I'm discovering more and more about my, not only sort of physical tendencies on the instrument, but I'm hoping that I, through all this, you know, feel more fluent on this instrument. It's like learning a new vocabulary word that I can be ready for when it shows up in a jam session or whatever. So
yeah, well, and the other thing that's really cool about it is that it's, especially in these times when we're not playing with other people, it's pretty easy to just, I'm going to pick up my guitar and I'm going to do all the things that I always do.
Yeah, right.
And so what I find myself doing is like, oh, that's cool. Now I think I'll play the banjo. Now I think I'll play the mandolin. Now I think I'll play, you know, the pedal steel. And so I'm changing instruments rather than going deeper.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And so this is an opportunity to just get inside a little more and really have some discovery. So cool. Yeah. All right, thank you. Well, listen, I really appreciate it. And I'm so glad that you and your family are safe and sound and doing well. And I know Lori's been in healthcare. Is she throwing in some, you know, helping in some way as she is inclined to do?
Yeah, she's not necessarily what folks are calling frontline, doing frontline work, but she has been connected with the Nashville Metro Health Department for 10 or 12 years now.
Right.
And just to hear her talk about, not revealing any specific information, but just a lot of people that have a lot of questions, and especially a lot of places like Nashville that have a lot of underserved communities that don't know where to go. You know, the health department is there, and she helps sort of guide them to what step looks like the next step.
Wow. Well, give her my love and thank her for all of us. And thanks to you for teaching me one thing.
Yeah.
Actually, you taught me three things, but that's okay.
You being better is one good thing.
Easy to do. Well, thank you, Brian. Great to see you.
Yeah, see you, Nick. Thank you so much.
All right.